And welcome to the Power Hour. This is Don Jeffries with you. I'm the guest host, and I'm honored to be the first host on the new platform on BBS Radio. Glad to be here. Hopefully, I don't mess this up too much. I think I'll have the breaks right and everything. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm the author of 10 books, including Hidden History, Survival of the Richest, Crimes and Cover-ups in American Politics, 1776-1963. And my brand new one, American Memory Hole, How the Court Historians Promote Disinformation. You can find them anywhere at all the typical normal places and outlets out there. I'm also easy to find. Do a search of me, you probably find out more than you want to know. But I'm pretty, I have a good following at Substack, and that's the only place I'm not being shadow banned. So if you want to subscribe to me there, that would be wonderful. Donald Jeffries at Substack.com. It's called I Protest. And you can follow me at Twitter or X at Don Jeffries. I'm not being, it's that has eased up a little bit since Elon Musk has come on. So I understand we're going to take a break at about 5 minutes after. So I'll talk a little bit, and then I definitely want to take phone calls. So I love hearing from you. So if you want to call into the show, it's 1-800-231-1760. That's 1-800-231-1760. 1-760 toll free in the US and Canada. So I'd love to hear from you, and we'll take phone calls after the first break. I want to talk, I think mostly, I think the biggest story is one of the most incredible events I've ever seen, what's going on in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, and other places, but Western North Carolina seems to be the hardest hit. But just the stories we're hearing out of there are just incomprehensible. I just, even someone like me, and those of you who have read my work know how distrustful I am of the powers that be, and I don't have a high opinion of authorities at any level, so I wouldn't expect necessarily governors or local authorities to do the job I would, living up to my standards or the standards I think of most people. But in this case, we're hearing report after report from people that the authorities at all levels, and especially FEMA, are stopping aid. They're not allowing people to get assistance from really good-hearted volunteers that seem to have come out in force. And that's what happens in these situations. You see the good in people because they do come out to try to help their neighbors. And you have people with helicopters have been turned away. And there's a great video out there of the guy that had to leave his son, who was his co-pilot, on the side of a mountain with, I think it was, he was as an elderly couple there, and he took one of them down, and the they were threatened to arrest him if he went back up and got her husband, I think, and his son. So I'm assuming, presumably, he eventually got he got them. But I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're hearing. And if you look at the video of it, and of course we can't play video here, but it's just devastating. And for those of you who want to see what I think is the best video I've seen of it coverage, it's from True Stream Media, which is Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. They used to be on InfoWars many years ago, and they have True Stream Media. They do some good work. And Melissa put together a really good video. I think it's called What Really Happened in North Carolina, where she has a lot of the testimony from people who are there. A lot of people on the other side are saying, well, they're, it's fake news. Well, same thing we heard in Springfield, Ohio, was fake news about the Haitians eating cats and dogs. Well, I don't know what vested interest someone would have as a neighbor to be making up stories about cats and dogs or FEMA blocking aid. I mean, whatever it is, I trust people on the ground level. And so I don't know what that could be that or why that mindset is there. They just don't want to believe it. But at any rate, you can find a lot of this testimony in Melissa's video. And I put it on my Facebook, which you probably won't be able to find there because it's shadow banned, but it's on X. So again, it's at Don Jeffries there. So I linked the video there. You can check it out. It's on YouTube, but you can e find the easy link on my Twitter page at Don Jeffries. And while you're there, follow me if you haven't already. And I said, I hope I get this break right. I think we have about a minute left because I'm not. We're just starting out again. This is the first time on BBS Radio, so if I don't hear the incoming music, I just have to guess it. And again, I want to give out that number, 1-800-231-1760. Please call. We'd love to hear from you. We don't have to discuss North Carolina. We can discuss anything you want.
The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, the Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio.
Okay, I think I'm hearing the music. I'm not hearing it completely, but we're back. Don Jeffries here with you. This is the Power Hour, coming to you in its initial launch from BBS Radio. So glad to be here, honored to be the host. And again, we would love to hear from you. So please give us a call, 1-800-231-1760, 1-800-231-1760. 1760. So, okay, I'm just looking here. So, and again, so we don't have to talk about North Carolina. To me, I think that is the by far the biggest story. Maybe, you don't know, the only story, but certainly the biggest story out there. And I think it reflects again why so many people have become voluntarists or even anarchists. And I've been driven, you know, closer to anarchy than I ever thought I would be. I used to have arguments with people who were, you know, a lot of my supporters are anarchists, and they would say, "Oh, you got to try anarchy, man. This is, you know." And I always thought, you have to have some kind of order. I mean, you know, what's the old expression? You can't have anarchy. But you know, when you look at where we've come in terms of government, exactly what are we getting out of government at this point? What are we getting? When you have something like this, where you have a you know, a weather cataclysmic event of, you know, just unbelievable proportions, and we can get into a little bit about what caused that as well, because you have you know, not that many people are analyzing what this is. I mean, as I understand, these people are not, they did have a flood there, I think, in over a century ago, 1914 or something like that. It wasn't as bad as this, but that's well over 100 years, and I don't think most of them have insurance, because I don't think it's a flood zone there. But the way they're kind of located in the mountains and everything, it's hard to, you know, people have told me, how'd a hurricane get there? I mean, aren't hurricanes more powerful the closer they are to the ocean? Don't they come along the shorelines? This is not near the ocean. So exactly how did, you know, that's I think it's, again, I'm a weather expert, but certainly no meteorologist, but how does that something like that happen? I don't know. But I think that needs to be explained, especially when you have all the speculation from you know, people in alt media. Certainly, I've speculated on it, that this weather is being manipulated. You know, geoengineering, I think, is a real thing. You just look up in the sky and see those chemtrails. And the government admits that they've been manipulating the weather. They started geoengineering the weather, I don't know, 50 years ago, 60 or however, maybe even longer before that. But I just know when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, weather, I never feared the weather. Weather was never, I didn't think much about it. It wasn't exciting. If it rained, okay, maybe your game got rained out or something. I was playing sports. Or you got excited if it snowed because, hey, maybe I'm in school. But in terms of these cataclysmic events, you know, this weather fear porn that the Weather Channel especially, you know, does 24/7. You know, they're constantly trying to terrify people. And a lot of old people watch the Weather Channel. So who knows how many old people died of heart attacks just watching that stuff? Because it would frighten you. It's a category four, category five, and they're already saying there's going to be another hurricane coming. I don't know if it's the same area, but my guess is it'll probably hit another area that's largely Trump voters, because that seems like quite a coincidence. I don't know, but and people have mentioned that before, but I think when you have the kind of distrust that people have in government, when you know that they've lied to you about everything, then you do get driven much closer to anarchy, because there is what is the point when you have something like that, when you're trying to go help someone, and this is, I think, local law enforcement, I think a fire chief was involved or something too. It was very much everybody there that were the so-called officials were blocking aid. And this is, we have tons of people. All these are they all lying? The other side is saying, well, no, what these people, I thought you didn't believe in crisis actors. So these are hired actors to try to pretend this stuff is happening when it's not. And actually the government's doing a sensible job. Obviously when you have that many people testifying to something happening, there's obviously there has to be some fire there with all that smoke. So what do you think of something like that when a guy goes and flies a helicopter up and tries to rescue somebody and the police, I think it was the police, stop him from doing it and make him leave the person there? I don't that's there's a whole, I, you have to come up with a new adjective for that. But because of that, again, what we're hearing, at this point, I have no argument with the anarchists. Because at this point, if government can't do something in this kind of situation, what good are they? What are we paying taxes for? Why do we have a government? Okay, we have Patrice from Ohio. You're on the air, Patrice.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Yes,
I've
I
been
think I
in
read. Yeah, I
France.
think I.
Yeah.
Have you been in? Oh, you've been in a real first world country. How does it look over there? I hear France is an actual first world nation. How do they compare to us?
Yeah. No, the French Riviera is very nice. I do have to admit, I'd go back there again.
Oh, well, you're fancy on the French Riviera, boy. It's a, that's where they
Yeah.
filmed. It takes a.
I had to
That's
go
where the.
to a wedding.
Wow,
So,
that's quite a destination wedding on the French Riviera, boy.
yeah. You know those Europeans.
Yeah, I guess
So,
so. Well,
in
you're back to America. You're back to America 2.0 now. And the cold hard reality of the
Yeah, and
world's
then I came.
wealthiest
Yeah,
banana
I came
republic is
back.
hitting you. So,
Yeah. So in any event,
what's on your mind?
so I'm aware of all the lithium and quartz and blah blah blah
Yes.
that they're
Yeah.
trying to take. But I find it rather interesting that Elon Musk wants to help, but yet he's the one who benefits
How does he benefit?
all this disaster
Well, I know he's
for the
supposedly gone
lithium.
there, and I think he's tried to provide internet for the people there. Because I mean, Kamala Harris and her wisdom,
No, but
one of her great.
he has contracts. My understanding is he got
Oh, does he?
contracts.
Well, it's yeah. These guys. It's hard to find good guys, Patrice, as you know. I don't think they are any, because even the ones that are talking. Saying good things, and you look and you see they have maybe they're benefiting from it. Well, I didn't know that. Doesn't surprise
Yeah.
me though.
No. So, yeah, go figure. The person, it, well, that's kind of like FEMA, how they're saying, don't take any help from any private citizen. Give all your
Yeah.
money to us so we can screw you. Yeah.
Yeah, just give it to us so we can stop people giving aid. We'll give it to us so we can not help you. Yeah, I mean FEMA, and they have a history of this. FEMA has a history of this. I mean, you go back what they did the
Well,
same
isn't
kind of
it
thing in
ultimately
Katrina.
depopulation?
Oh,
Depopulation.
that's. I think this is
That's the
again the
goal.
eugenicist. Yeah, we don't know how many people died in this. We don't know because as I understand, there are thousands and thousands still missing. I mean, it's just a horrible story that they're posting in Facebook pages and stuff of all these people, these smiling people who haven't been seen. I mean, you had people that watch their family members get torn away. I mean, it was like during the tsunami
and they
or something.
Have no flood insurance because floods never happen.
Right.
There.
Right. Yeah. That's why I was mentioning that. No flood. So it's, and it's, but there, you know, Kamala Harris says she's going to give, you can apply for your
$750.
Yeah. But you do have to, you can do that online, even though you don't have any internet connection, unless Elon Musk is supposedly going to provide some with some. So maybe then Elon Musk will come in and provide an internet so that they can. They can apply for their $750.
Can start about 10% somewhere. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And as I understand, I don't know how many, but I've heard that at least some of the people that have applied for the $750 have been turned down. So I don't
really?
This is just,
that's interesting.
That's you hear all kinds of stuff, but I'm not hearing anything good. I'm not hearing any good stories coming out of there except for all the people that are trying to help. I mean, it's great that there's that many good-hearted Samaritans, but they're not being allowed to. And this is a crime. I don't even know what you would call this. But, and of course, in the world of the mainstream media, they're not even acknowledging it exists because somehow they think that reflects poorly on Kamala Harris, who they're completely committed to, I guess. I mean, I don't understand why.
Oh, well,
I can't.
Yeah. Well, and Dane Winnington, I guess, has been working with Congress over the geoengineering that took place, that they're really acknowledging that they are aware that that happened. I
Congress
heard an interview with he and Greg Hunter over the weekend, and people are starting to realize, wow, this really happened, and they really did this.
Well, that would be a bombshell thing, especially if anybody. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, you would expect her to. I think she did say something about the weather caused this, but they've marginalized her because she's wacky, and they'll just.
Well, he said he had like seven congressmen this time.
Oh, cool.
Not just one.
Well, probably Massey. I'm guessing Thomas Massey, the best one, and maybe some of the other members of the Freedom Caucus,
Kentucky.
No, yeah. Democrats on that list, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, he's brought it just totally up with, although he was getting, I never realized.
Sorry, I lost.
That I knew he was, you there?
Yeah, I kind of lost some of you there. Said you realized that he was, and then you kind of faded out.
Oh, he was, you know, really hitting hard on Governor Newsom. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's in complete denial and telling him to quit pursuing this. He was able to get some other congressional people in the state of California, and they started to pursue it. And then they were told, do not pursue this. And then not only do not pursue it, disavow everything you frickin' said.
Isn't that something?
So,
yeah. Yeah, this is, it's
but this
very
geoengineering is what started it, you know. So it's been a plan.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what they do, and you know, it's very obvious that, you know, again, we didn't used to have this. I don't know how old you are, but if you're near my age, but
I'm 62, born in 62,
you're a little,
and I'm 62, little younger than
well,
you.
Okay, well, you're a little bit younger than me, but you're old enough probably to remember. That again, we don't. I never even used to know what hurricane season was. You know, I never lived in Florida or any of those places, but I live in Virginia. But mm-hmm. it never occurred to me that, you know, I never remember until Katrina. I mean, I don't know, maybe some devastating events happened back when I was a kid. I don't remember, and they don't report it much. If they were, do you know of any?
Well, I live in Middletown, Ohio, growing up, and the big tornado that came through, oh gosh, now it escapes me, kind of like near north of Dayton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like a huge one. That was, I think, like in 74 or 75. Mm-hmm. That was natural, I think, pretty much. Because the sky was green. It was the craziest looking. And my parents decided to go out to dinner that night. They must get the envelope. Yeah, that's what you did in the 70s.
Yeah, there's obviously when people said, I mean, obviously weather is real, and there have been real, you know, weather emergencies, but not since, you know, when I first started thinking about this was when that tsunami hit, when was that, 2000, something like that, but right around there, and I had never heard of the word tsunami before.
Oh, 2004?
Yeah, right around that, okay.
2004 tsunami?
When they said tsunami, I remember thinking, for some reason I associate it with Pokemon or something. I was like, what? I didn't know what that was. And then they acted like these were things that I'd heard tidal waves, but I'd never heard of a tsunami before. Just like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago in my area, we had something called a derecho. Never heard the word before in my life, which is apparently an incredibly strong, super-powered thunderstorm that cost us power for 5 days. Mm-hmm. Never had that happen.
Yeah. I just looked it up on Google. 1974, Xenia, Ohio. That's the one I'm talking about.
Okay, but it was, but even that, a natural event like that, you said a tornado, but I mean, what? Well, you didn't have FEMA yet. So how did you recover from that? With local law? Well, you don't remember, I guess, but I mean.
Well, people, the local people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what is happening now, and they're preventing it,
churches,
right?
Churches. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and I remember that was devastating. That took a while too for anybody to turn back.
Absolutely.
And as we know, they've kind of changed Tornado Alley. We used to kind of get tornadoes up our way. Now it's really hovering over like the Nashville area in like the last 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's going west and then over to Illinois.
Well, when you were in France,
straight up Kentucky to Ohio.
When you were in France, did any of the French, what's the view of America from France? I mean, is there an understanding over there?
Well, I was people, only I don't able know if you... to watch the BBC because I don't know. French.
But I mean, just the people that you talk.
Oh my God! They hate Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump and tell all the lies about him. But yet, then they also make Joe Biden out to be a fool.
I'm just guessing that they're dependent upon media for their impressions, but I just wonder if they get a sense of how bad America is now, how it's changed, what I call America 2.0. Is there a sense there? I mean, do they know that we haven't touched our infrastructure?
Well, they really think that we're the leader when it comes to this ding-a-ling, you know, the Ukrainian thing. They do hype up a little bit and think how the Israel thing is genocide. They do go there. Oh, well, did you hear that Boris Johnson has written a book about his tales in office and how he had his people sweep his flat and they found a bug in his video bug in his bathroom, and he states in the book that he has verified that was Netanyahu who placed that there.
Oh wow, yeah, that's it. Well, I just know that Cynthia McKinney told me about 5 years ago that when she was driving across France that she didn't encounter a single pothole. So I just look at France, and I know my friend Nick Mancuso, the actor, lives there, has lived in Paris for a long time, and he told me the difference is night and day, that when you're in France, you know you're in a first world country. In America, I haven't been to those countries, but I, I can see how it's deteriorated.
There's modern and old mixed together. You know, things have been there for centuries, which is older.
Right.
It's crazy. They all have these completely modern sinks, but their toilets look ancient.
Those are the kind of things that get around. I've heard stories of toilets in various countries. I think it's Italy. Is Italy the one that still has a hole in the ground or something like that? I don't know. But maybe we are.
It's kind of like that in France, too, if you're going around some places. Like they're public, a public restroom.
So
we went to Monaco, but their transit is just beautiful, the public transportation.
Yes,
you can get a 7-day pass for like 50 euro, and you can get on a train, or a bus, unlimited.
Yeah, and get anywhere, right? And that's what I call. How much is that in American dollars? A 7-day pass. What would that be?
It's probably like 60. 50 euro is probably $60.
Okay.
And you can charge it if you have a credit card that doesn't have international fees. Everything is credit card there.
I see. Yeah, well, that's pretty much it is here, too. I try to hold some cash, but I probably should do a better job of it than I end up doing. But I really need to stash some more cash because that's they say when it may be worth something one day, I guess, or maybe worth nothing. I don't know. But at any rate, we're getting close to a break here. So what else on your mind? It's wonderful talking with you. Patrice, are you there? Oh, okay. I guess it was great talking with you, Patrice. Not sure what happened. We have about a minute and a half or so to the break. So you can see a little bit what she talked about, or what my impressions I get, again, from being a noted non-traveler. It's my impression is that, again, places like France and Italy, maybe Germany, I'm not sure. But certainly, they appear to have the kind of, and even China, if you look at China, we hear about, of course, China's not obviously a tyrannical society and worse than us, but we're getting there because, China's society our leaders emulate. And they've talked about it for a long time. I wrote about that in my book, Survival of the Riches, how this they really would like to have the kind of society that they have in China. So again, I don't have any bumper music here, so I think the break is coming up in about 30 seconds. So we'll see. If I'm interrupted by the music, excuse me. I'm doing the best I can, but I probably can't get this down to the second. So, but China does have a first class, certainly infrastructure, and they're very clean, tyrannical but clean. Here we're tyrannical but dirty. So I'm not sure. I don't know that that's any that that's. I don't think, I know it's not better, but at any rate, so I hope I have this right here.
Empower your day by tuning in to the Power Hour Live every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central Time. Join us for dynamic discussions and call in with your questions or comments at 888-627-6008. Can't make it live? No worries. You can catch the replay anytime 24/7 by visiting thepowerhour.com. Want to stay in the loop? Sign up for our daily newsletter to get show archives and guest info straight to your inbox. And if you're a podcast fan, we've got you covered on all major platforms and devices. So whether you're tuning in live or catching up on your commute, the Power Hour is always within reach. Don't miss out. Join our community and make every hour a Power Hour. Power your life with the best health, wellness, and readiness products from thepowermall.com. Each purchase you make doesn't just benefit you, it also supports independent news media. That's right. You're backing the good guys who bring you the truth. Feel good knowing that every dollar you spend helps small businesses grow. Imagine a community where your health is optimized and your mind is well informed. That's the future you're building with the Power Hour and the Power Mall. So, take the step today. Empower your wellness and support independent media. Shop smart. Shop independent. Shop thepowermall.com. Together, we make a difference.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Discover the benefits of vitamin B17 and its potential role in supporting overall health and well-being with our Power Hour partner, Richardson Nutritional Center. Their natural bitter apricot seeds and vitamin B17 capsules have high levels of B17, also known as amygdalin, which is a naturally occurring compound found in plant-based sources. At Richardson Nutritional Center store, they prioritize your health and satisfaction. Their Laetril vitamin B17 capsules are carefully manufactured under strict quality standards to ensure purity and potency. Buy Laetril B17 capsules or bitter apricot seeds today and embark on a natural journey towards wellness. To order, visit thepowerhour.com, click on the Partners tab, or call us at 877-817-9829.
There has never been a better time to buy gold and silver. To buy gold and silver direct, call our partners at Cornerstone Asset Metals. You can reach them at 888-747-3309 and make sure to tell them the Power Hour sent you.
Change only happens when we the people become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour.
And welcome back. I only kind of heard that music. This is Don Jeffries. We're on BBS Radio, and this is the Power Hour. New platform, so we're getting our feet wet here, and I'm particularly getting my feet wet because, like I said, I'm not a guru here, so I'm doing the best I can. Love to hear from you guys. It was nice talking to Patrice from France, and you can call anywhere toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-231-1760. That's 1-800-231-1760. I would love to hear from you. Now, again, we've been talking obviously mostly about North Carolina. Again, it's a travesty. And again, I think that, but this was not, this is kind of a pattern that we've seen. It started in, first I noticed it was Katrina when, that Bush was, George W. Bush was roundly and rightfully criticized for a slow response to that, but I think he took 2 days. In this case, I think it was more like a week or close to a week. And you did have the allegations back then, and people thought they were crazy, that some of the people in New Orleans claimed that they'd blown up the levees, or the authorities or something had blown up the levees, and even that the police were shooting at them. I remember hearing that. Of course, even at that time, I'm willing to consider that because I don't have a very high opinion of the authorities. And my opinion has sunk even lower. Now, and then, of course, you had in Haiti, where you had all kinds of stuff going on there. You had the, you know, the earthquake where there was, you know, a lot of suspicion about the nature of that earthquake as well. You had the Clinton Foundation involved, and maybe some trafficking going on. Lots of strange allegations there. And, of course, once again, you had FEMA not doing what they're supposed to do, and the Red Cross. And again, the Red Cross is, it's this, I wrote about this in my book, Hidden History and Survival of the Richest, how bad these big charities are. And the Red Cross is right there with the United Way as being the worst of them all. And you'll notice whenever any of these things happen, they will, every media outlet will now, will invariably route you, you know, send to, they'll put their little, you know, logo up on everything, all their television coverage, you know, give to the United Way, give to Red Cross. And they want all aid going through there. And the Red Cross is notorious for holding up aid. They've done this. I mean, it's tons and tons of people talking about it. The people that, that are in these areas don't understand, because now they didn't outright block it like FEMA has done. They've gone a step further. But what they would do is they would take it and they would dole it out piecemeal. They would go, you know, gradually. And the people who need it immediately don't understand that. Why aren't we getting it right away? But this is their strategy. And you know, again, makes no sense to me. But I don't get the Salvation Army is the only one of these big charities that I found by researching them that doesn't have a huge overhead, that doesn't pay their CEO or whatever a lot of money. I think their CEO is making $14,000 a year at the time I wrote Survival of the Richest about 7 years ago or so. So keep that in mind when, you know, if you want to give to charity, I mean, just carry a bunch of ones around with you like I do, and you're gonna see people begging at every stoplight, you know, and help people out, give them money directly or buy them something directly, buy them a meal or something. I think that's the best kind of charity. And charity begins at home, of course. Much as America, you know, doesn't take care of our own people. And this is, you know, the tragedy in North Carolina, you know, brings that home with, you know, crystal clarity, is that while we're, you know, still giving all these billions to Ukraine and Israel and every other country on earth, they won't even allow help. I mean, you have people that are devastated. The bodies are piled up, supposedly people that have trapped and were dead in their houses. I mean, horrible stories if they're true. And again, if there's, you know, one quarter of those stories are true, this is just an unbelievable story, and it's incomprehensible that our government isn't moving. I think they sent 500 troops or some ridiculous thing like that. I mean, they should have thousands of people there. The National Guard is getting involved too in not doing, you know, what Charles Dickens said back in the 1850s, experts in not getting it done. So nothing new under the sun. The National Guard has actually made people who cleaned the debris up around their homes, or I guess what was left of their homes, assuming they still had them, and took them to the landfill, the dump. The National Guard has been turning those people around and forcing them to take the debris back with them and keep it in their yard until FEMA gets around to picking it up sometime within the next year. These are the stories we're hearing. Can it be true? I don't know. I mean, it's even with my low opinion of our government, some of this stuff is hard for me to believe, but I don't know that all these people could possibly be making it up. I don't know anybody right in that area that was hit. So, and odds are they might not be able to communicate if that was the case anyhow. So keep them in your prayers and hope that, you know, that we can, that they can, you know, at least make the best case out of this. I mean, obviously thousands of people probably have already died. We don't know if we'll ever get an accurate count there, or if we'll trust it if we do. But this is something to keep in mind when you vote or anything else. Again, you know, again, I'm very distrustful of the electoral process. I don't think they'll be counting the votes, honestly. But I think at this point, again, I don't like Trump. I think it's the Trumpenstein Project. People can read my work on that. But there's no case, whatever he is, there's no way in the world he isn't the lesser of two evils at this point. The other side is hopelessly. I mean, I've said many times before that I think when we're confronting what is happening with the transgender thing and all that kind of stuff, I think that's a darkness that cannot be explained in human terms. I think, you know, people, human beings do bad things. Obviously, we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. We all sin. But I don't know. So what is the kind of darkness that gets in the heart of a mother that has a four-year-old child or something and decides that that little boy is actually a girl and moves heaven and earth to make that happen? And there's, you're seeing it all the time now. And then what's in the heart of the medical profession, the doctors and the nurses that enable this and perform the mutilation? I mean, that's a darkness I don't think we've ever seen before. But and I don't think you can attribute that to anything other than the darkest force imaginable. Call it Satan. I think it's a satanic force there. You know, the old time days, they used to say, you know, you got the demons, you've been possessed by a demon. Well, I think millions of Americans have been possessed by demons. And then if you look at what's going on in North Carolina, again, what is in the heart of people in FEMA when they're blocking relief aid? They're not letting good-hearted Samaritans get aid there. That, I don't think that's human. I don't think that human nature can be that bad. I think, you know, it's especially if you've shown no signs of being a serial killer or anything. You've had no, you know, mental pathology or something that is, you know, you've been, you know, torturing animals or something, and okay, this, you decided to go get a job in FEMA because they're all doing it. This is coming from the top. And same thing with the National Guard. What's in the hearts of those people that are telling the directives they're getting? What's in the heart of their bosses that tells them, no, you know, these people, that had to be a lot of work. Just imagine cleaning up the debris and I guess throwing it in your pickup truck or whatever and taking it to the landfill, the dump, and then having law enforcement tell you, get back, take it back and dump it back on your yard. I mean, I don't think you can, Melissa Melton talks about that in the video. Again, people can see that on my Twitter page at Don Jeffries X page. And she talks about that where, this is impossible. You can't attribute this to incompetence. That's not incompetence. That's evil. And it's an evil I don't think that you can quantify in terms of human terms, something like that. It's an evil beyond, you know, somebody shoplifted or something like that. It's an evil way beyond that. Or, you know, even almost any kind of theft. I mean, that's certainly bad, but I don't think other than terms of murder, and even in terms of murder, you know, when you talk about most murders, there's some kind of motive other than like serial killers and really twisted stuff that I don't even begin to understand there. But I watch a lot of these investigation discovery shows to do research on how bad our justice system is. I may write a book about it one day just to show, you know, how often the juries get it wrong, and they get it wrong like 99% of the time. Usually they're convicting people on almost no evidence at all. They don't understand reasonable doubt. But once in a while, they'll acquit somebody where the evidence is overwhelming, or they'll admit they did it or whatever. So they get it wrong almost all the time. So I'm watching this stuff, and usually most of these murders, they're not conspiratorial. They're mundane matters, but there's always a motive. And the motive is really stupid usually. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, you know, a wife or a husband, you know, kill each other, or so the kids are killed, whatever. Some close family members will kill somebody over, you know, $100,000, $200,000 insurance policy, something like that. That's all, you know, it's hard to believe people can, and that is evil, but they have a motive, as twisted as it is. There's a reason why they're doing it. The reason why FEMA or the National Guard or local law enforcement, sheriffs, police officers, the reason why they would stop citizens from rendering aid and refuse to do it themselves or be really slow about doing it, there's no motive for that. There's no twisted motive for it. Unless, what would the motive be? They obviously, and again, I'm not saying they're getting their orders from somebody. So the ones who are giving the orders, what would your motive be? And if we had a free press, of course, you would be going and questioning the director of FEMA, and you would be questioning the police chief of Asheville or whatever, and you would be questioning the National Guard in that area, the people that run the National Guard there. But we don't have a free press. So no one's going to do that other than people like me with the platforms I have. Melissa Melton, the people, you know, people that have much smaller platforms are doing what we can. But we're not the New York Times, you know, we're not the CBS News. And that's where they have to be held to task by those people, and they're not doing it. So it's bound to happen again. But Patrice and caller, she mentioned eugenicists, and that's the only thing I can come up with. The only motive here, it looks to me like they wanted thousands of people to die, and they want thousands more. They want more people to die. They're not satisfied. That's why they're not allowing people to help them. And so what else would the motive be? Because why else would you stop? Is there a financial incentive? Is somebody paying you big money to stop getting aid? I don't know. Maybe there's a bounty, eugenicist bounty. But this is what we have, what we see over and over again. We saw it during COVID PSYOP, you know, my book, Masking the Truth, I'm a shadow bone book in the history of the world. You can try to get that wherever you can, you know, because it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They played games of that like you wouldn't believe. But that tells the truth about what I call the greatest PSYOP in the history of the world. And I think, again, that was a eugenicist program. They wanted millions of people to die from the vaccine or hospital protocol, which killed my brother. I lost my brother to that. Because of, and he went in healthy, and they killed him in 2 weeks, quarantined him. He claimed he had COVID, which he didn't have a single symptom. And they killed him with remdesivir and ventilator, like so many other people have, even though I told them, you know, not to do it, but I couldn't go there. They had armed guards at the door. But this is what we're confronting. I said, you know, I've experienced that firsthand. And so I can talk about that firsthand. And this, it's unthinkable, you know, 25 years ago or something that, you could think that was happening. But, you know, when we saw what happened during COVID, so it makes it more believable, these stories about what's happening with FEMA and all these other things, because we know, we saw what they did during COVID. They took a new step forward or backwards. And so now we're at the point where you're dealing with, again, the Republicans are no good. I'm not saying they're any good, but at least the ones in the Freedom Caucus, they don't appear to be crazy. The other side, the woke Democrats, my old party, I don't think there's a single one in the bunch that's salvageable, and they all appear to be evil, absolutely evil. And so, and I talk a lot about this, and I'm able to talk about this now, might not be able to talk about it in another year or so, because they may outlaw all this. And you've got all the high-profile Democrats, every one of them is running on an anti-First Amendment campaign. You have Kamala Harris, who said, you know, we can't have disinformation. You know, Tim Walz said, no, the First Amendment doesn't protect disinformation. Nonsense like that. They can't. Disinformation isn't, you can't quantify the term. It's not a term. You can't even quantify. What do you mean disinformation? One man's disinformation is another man's, you know, muckraker journalism. So, and then you have Hillary Clinton coming out of mothballs to suggest that people who promote disinformation, like probably everything you're going to hear on this radio station, be prosecuted. Is that what people want? Well, if you're voting for that, that's what, you know, what you're saying you want. And then if you have John Kerry, who, again, they brought him out of mothballs, who came out, and he bemoaned the fact that, you know, this First Amendment, you know, this thing, you know, the Bill of Rights, I mean, it really gets in the way of us governing. Well, it gets in the way of tyrants governing. It doesn't get in the way of, you know, honest statesman governing, and an honest statesman would realize, wow, this is, the First Amendment is really valuable. It protects me too. The Bill of Rights is very important. And, you know, we don't talk about the other rights. We talk a little bit about the Second Amendment. We don't talk about the Fourth Amendment. And if you watch those investigation discovery shows or the cops gone wild videos, you realize how often and frequently the Fourth Amendment is violated over and over again, and no one seems to care. The ACLU, I was a card-carrying member of the ACLU when I was a teenager back in the late 70s. And back then, they used to care about civil liberties. That's why I gravitated to them. If they existed today in the same form, which they don't, they would be front and center, talking about those cop videos where the Fourth Amendment is violated over and over again with illegal searches and seizures. And no one talks about the Tenth Amendment. And that's where any of the powers not mentioned in the Constitution, and there aren't many powers in the Constitution that are granted to the central government. any of these powers that are not enumerated here are belong to the states or the people. Now, there's I'd love to have my researchers, Chris Graves and Peter Seacost, who've done a great job helping me out on my books. Maybe they can look into that and see if there's a court case ever, certainly in modern history, where the 10th Amendment was successfully cited. And, you know, a judge or a jury said, yeah, that's right, you know, and ruled in their favor. So we already, the Bill of Rights is already crippled. The First Amendment is crippled. Free speech is staggering around. It's been knocked down five times, you know, and the referees are ready to count it out. But we have to have it while we can, because otherwise we can't, you know, we, without free speech, you couldn't be questioning what we're talking about in the show. You couldn't talk about what's happening in North Carolina, because that would be considered disinformation or misinformation. I don't know what the difference is. Both of them are nonsensical Orwellian terms, just like hate speech. But again, millions of people has accepted the term. I've heard so many Democrats say the First Amendment doesn't protect hate speech, and there's nobody there. I would love to be there to say, what are you talking about? Hate speech is an Orwellian term. You're meaning thought crime. Call it thought crime. We're thought criminals. Hate is a human emotion. You can't, everybody hates something. You can't make that illegal. Some hate it, and that's what you're trying to do. You make certain kinds of hate, and I got a video taken down from YouTube about a month ago or so, and it was an interview I did with Richard Gage of Architects for 9/11 Truth, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, until he formed his own organization recently. But it was an interview I did like 8 years ago with him. And they shut down my channel and said that video was hate speech. We were just talking about all the flaws in the official 9/11 narrative. So, and again, they use that term. And it's because millions of Americans, and if you're voting for these people, at this point, Democrats, and again, I'm not saying I don't think they count the votes, but if you're planning to vote, again, the Republicans aren't bad, good, but at this point, they're much less dangerous than Democrats, is all I'm saying. Is that, you know, and again, I understand in some ways, if you vote, you're kind of lending credence to the system, and it is a completely corrupt system. Donald Trump, certainly. I mean, I was watching his speech the other day in Butler, where he went back to where they shot at him, and he was thanking the Secret Service for the great job they did. I mean, the Secret Service made whatever happened happen. They did nothing at all. They absolutely stood down. So that's why I call him the Trumpenstein Project. You can't trust him. But at this point, if I vote, I'm going to vote for Trump for the entertainment value alone. And that may be, ultimately, that may be the most we can get out of this. Is entertainment. Is that, you know, we'll be entertained by it. And certainly if Donald Trump went back into office, there's no question. But that would be about as entertaining as it gets, because you just look at what the response would be. I mean, can you imagine the exploding heads on every television network and the histrionic, you know, tweets from celebrities, every celebrity threatening to leave the country, which none of them ever do. The only thing is, yeah, it could get dangerous, because the cities would probably burn. You would certainly have riots, and you'd have people out in the streets screeching and so forth. But that may ultimately be the best we can do. So again, I'm not trying to suggest that you do that or not, but the other side is just so bad at this point that at the very least, Trump and those guys would slow down the deterioration and put another Band-Aid on it, because this is what we're seeing. I mean, when you have, I never thought I would see candidates that would openly, I mean, they're not trying to hide it. They're running against the First Amendment. I mean, it's already bad enough, because if we had an honest political system and people weren't so entrenched against, you know, Trumpenstein, what I call him, that is he's a dividing rod, and people either love him or hate him. So you have millions of people that have Trump derangement syndrome. It's a very real thing. Some of my old friends have been afflicted with it. It's very sad to see, you know, people that used to love my work and wrote reviews, interviewed me, things like that, wrote blurbs. You know, we have to kind of dance around that subject now. I'm not, they think I'm a Trump supporter simply because I don't irrationally hate him, and I criticize the regime that we have now. And because of this TDS, a lot of these people who used to hate Hillary Clinton, who used to hate the Obamas and would hate Biden, things like that, certainly would hate Kamala Harris. Now they've embraced him because they're not Trump. And they just, anything to stop Trump from coming back into office, and so they don't have to see his dumb tweets or hear him, you know, make derisive nicknames up for people. They can't stand that. It drives them crazy. But to me, that may be the best we can have vote for. That's pretty sad. But we're not going to get, Thomas Jefferson or John F. Kennedy or my all-time favorite Huey Long. They're not running for office. So this may be the best we can do. But if you pay attention again to what's been happening, again, in the fact that George W. Bush did justifiably get a lot of criticism for Katrina. So if that's the case, if a president's, you know, responsible for something like that, then where is, I understand Joe Biden's kind of a president in absentia. He's not even really there. But Biden, Harris, the regime, they should be getting tons and tons of criticism for what's happening. I mean, the press should be holding them accountable. If we had a real press, which we don't. And this, you know, people should be outraged everywhere. And I just hope those people, again, I'm assuming, and I know a lot of my people out there, oh, you're crazy. They don't count. I know they don't. I don't think they count the votes. But if you're going to have the process and you're going to claim that voting is going on, it may be, I think I've heard that area is largely Trump territory. So if that's the case, is that coincidental? That's where this happened? I don't know, because will they be able to vote? I don't know how many thousands of them lost their lives that would have voted for Trump. Now, again, I don't say that's the main motive, because I think this is eugenicist thing, and they just want people to die. But I think that has a lot to do with it, too, that the vast majority of the people that were affected by this were white and poor whites. A lot of this was, you know, Appalachia ran into this, and Appalachia is the poorest people in this country. And until John F. Kennedy visited them in 1960, no political candidate had ever acknowledged they existed, because it wasn't good optics. You know, they're pretty much all white. And the last thing our leaders want you to see is that, boy, there are all these poor white people out there. And so I think that's bad optics, and that's why they're, you know, avoiding it. The media is, the mainstream media is. But thank goodness we have the alternative media and we have these platforms. And we can do what we can do to try to wake up whoever we can. And that's all we can do. You know, what Robert F. Kennedy Sr. said, you know, back in the 60s, he talked about tiny ripples of hope and how, you know, they could create a tidal wave that could overwhelm the greatest injustices in the world. And that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for a tidal wave that from all these tiny ripples of hope. So send forth the tiny ripples of hope. I think we're almost out of time. I hope I haven't set up right here. I apologize for any glitches. It seemed like I didn't know what I was doing. I don't, especially with the music, but I'm doing the best I can. So hopefully you enjoyed this. And next time, hopefully I'll have more callers when people get used to it being on a new platform. But it's great talking to you all. Stay safe out there. And hope to be talking to you again soon. And hopefully I ended it at the right point. Thank you, everyone.
Give it up for BBS Radio TV, everybody. Yes. I just love it.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV, a place for answers.